The story of Mark Hopkins. Born September 1st, 1813, in Henderson, New York, of Surrey, New England stock, Mark Hopkins inherited from his storekeeper father a genius for trade. Although he studied law, he never practiced, but after leaving school, went on the road selling farm implements, later becoming bookkeeper and then manager for a mercantile firm in New York City. One evening in the year 1849, he was calling on his fiancée, Mary Sherwood.
What's the trouble, Mark? Has something gone wrong at the store?
No. No, everything's running smoothly. Well, why do you ask?
Haven't had an argument with Mr. Rowland, have you?
No, certainly not.
Well, something is worrying you. What is it?
No, whatever put that idea into your head?
Because you've been so distraught, so preoccupied all evening. But several times I've spoken to you and you haven't even answered. You have all the symptoms of a man with something on his mind. Come now, tell me. What is it?
Well, now, of course, you've heard about the gold strike in California.
I'd have to be deaf not to hear it. The whole country's ringing with the news. But what's that got to do with... Mark, you haven't caught the gold fever, have you?
Not exactly. But I am thinking of going out there.
Mark.
Oh, not as a miner, as a merchant.
A merchant?
Yes. Listen, Mary. All those thousands of people rushing to the gold fields will need food, clothing, tools, cooking utensils, everything. Now, the man who can be on the ground first with a stock of supplies is bound to make money. Lots of money. But I'm going to be that man.
But how are you going to buy your stock and get it out there? That'll take capital.
I've got that all figured out. Now, I've spoken to several men who are willing to go in with me. Invest $500 each in the enterprise. We're going to form a company. I've already chosen a name for it. The New England Trading and Mining Company. Oh, I tell you, Mary, we'll all be rich.
And you, how much are you going to invest?
Oh, well, I've got $1,000.
But, Mark, that's the money that we were going to get married on.
No, dear, but just think how long it's taken me to save up that $1,000. This is an opportunity to make 5 or 10 times that much in a couple of years.
Well...
Oh, I'll never get anywhere grubbing along here in a salary. You know the old saying, nothing ventured, nothing gained. Oh, what do you say, Mary? Would you take a chance on me? Would you let me prove to you that I can really make something of myself? Something worthwhile? Will you wait for me?
Yes, Mark, I will wait. And after you get out there, if you find that you need my help, you send for me. I'll come to you.
Oh, my brave darling. That's all I needed. Your faith in me. And now I can't lose.
Hopkins organized his company and with $13,000 worth of stock and equipment, embarked for San Francisco. On the long voyage around the Horn, he studied Spanish to facilitate his dealings with the native Californians. On his arrival, he located in Sacramento and went into the business of hauling and selling supplies to the mining camps. It was a hard life and fraught with danger.
Well, we're at the top of the hill, Hopkins. I didn't think you'd make it.
It's quite a pull, all right. I got a pretty heavy load for this kind of weather.
Mighty nice of you to let me ride with you over to Placerville. Let me drive for a while. I know you're tired.
Well, all right, Miller, here you are. I'm glad to have your company. Oh, say, how are you coming out on your claim?
Oh, pretty well. Well, I was never cut out to be a miner. I'm thinking of selling out.
You got enough of it, eh?
Well, it's like this. I want to bring my wife and baby out here, and a mining camp's no place for women and children.
Yeah, you're right there.
You know, I'd like to get me a job in San Francisco or Sacramento. Settle down and make a home for myself and family.
Great heavens! Put on the brakes!
It won't hold! The brake rod's broken!
Hang on to the lines, Miller! The first we're going to get down this hill in a hurry! Get out for that cross turn ahead!
I can't do anything about it! Just hang on, pray that we don't go over into the canyon. Here we go!
We're going over!
No, we're not! There, we made it.
Well, hey, that was some driving. Oh, Miller, you're a wonder. Hey, look at that river.
It's overflowing its bank. It's a flood. It's torrent. Good Lord, debris.
Has it gone out?
No, it's still standing, but the water's rushing over the floorboard.
Oh, hope it'll stand till we get across.
Can't stop now. Too much momentum. We gotta take a chance. Well, here we go. Buck, Charlie, get up there.
Get up.
Hang on.
All right.
Here we go now.
Is it making?
I don't know yet. Oh, we'll make it all right. Hang on now.
Whoa! Whoa, hold up in there now. Hold up, whoa, hold there, boy.
Hold up there now. Oh. Oh. Well, thank God we got over.
Oh, it was wonderful the way you handled that team. Oh, another second, we'd have been swept into eternity. Well, Miller, I guess maybe the Lord spared us so that we could go into partnership.
Partnership?
Yeah. You said something about selling your claim. Have you had an offer?
Yeah, and a pretty good one. Enough to send for the wife and the kid, get me a house and lot, and a few $100 left.
Well, suppose you forget the house and lot and go into the grocery business with me.
In Sacramento?
Yeah. I've got a little capital and the option on a darn good location for a store. I've been thinking of it for some time, and I've been waiting until I can find the right man for a partner. And I think you're that man. Besides, I owe it to you. What do you say?
Gee, that sounds pretty good to me. Say, this must be my lucky day.
The firm of Hopkins and Miller prospered, and in 1854, Hopkins made a trip to New York and married Mary Sherwood, bringing her back with him to Sacramento. That same year, he formed another partnership, going into the hardware business with Collis P. Huntington, a venture that was highly successful from the start. The back room of the hardware store of Huntington and Hopkins was a favorite rendezvous for many of the men who made history in the early days of California. One evening in the year 1859, the two partners were discussing with Leland Stanford some serious news that had just arrived by overland pack train when E.B. Crocker entered.
Hello, boys. What do you got there? New York paper?
Yes, the Tribune.
I haven't got mine yet. What's happening in the...
Plenty. That fanatic John Brown led a band of his followers into Harper's Ferry, captured the town, and seized the national arsenal.
Well, for the love of Pete. What was the idea?
To arm the slaves and to incite them to revolt against their masters. He hoped to light the spark of a general insurrection of all the Negroes in the South.
Well, did he succeed?
No, he was captured by Lieutenant Robert E. Lee. But the incident has stirred up that bitter feeling in the South that a peaceful solution of the slavery question is now almost impossible.
Well, that means war.
I'm afraid so, Leland.
When did this happen?
October 18th.
Why, nearly a month ago.
And the Lord only knows what's happened by this time. If only it didn't take so long to get news from the East.
Yes, Collis, we're part of the United States, but we might just as well be on another continent. As far as knowing what's happening in our own country is concerned.
Yes, when it takes 4 or 5 weeks to come from New York by way of the Isthmus of Panama, and nearly as long by rail and pack train overland.
If we only had a railroad across the continent.
Well, Congress has been talking about it for a good many years, but they can't decide on the best road.
And if Secretary of War Jefferson Davis has his way, it'll be built in the South via El Paso.
I tell you, if we want a northern railroad, we'll have to do something about it ourselves. If we start to build from this end, it'll be much easier to persuade the government to build out from Omaha to connect with our line.
But how are we going to get across the Sierras? They say it's impossible.
Well, Theodore Judah, the engineer, doesn't think so. He's explored the entire country many times, and he says that a practical route is by way of Dutch Flat and over Donner Pass.
Yes, he's been trying to get the legislature to appropriate funds for a survey of that route, but he hasn't succeeded.
I was talking to Judah today, and I suggest that he try to get private capital to finance the survey.
Well, how much would he need?
Oh, about $35,000.
Well, he ought not to have much trouble getting that. Why, I'd be willing to... Sir, that's an idea. Why don't we put up the money?
We?
Huh? Oh, yes. Seven of us chip in $5,000 apiece. I've got faith in Judah, and I'll put up my share. How about you, Collis?
Oh, you can count me in.
And me. And I know I can speak for my brother, Charles.
Well, that's splendid. How about you, Stan?
Oh, I'm in.
That makes $25,000.
And we'll get James Bailey and Lewis Booth to put up the rest of the money. They're just as enthusiastic about a railroad as we are.
Well, gentlemen, tonight a great enterprise has been launched. One that is destined to bring wealth and prosperity not only to California, but to the entire Great West.
In 1861, the Central Pacific Railroad was organized, and in spite of almost insurmountable difficulties, the road was begun. Then came a period of despair. The newspapers scoffed, engineers jeered. The financial kings of San Francisco refused to take a part in the new undertaking. But Mark Hopkins and his associates went on, plunging themselves into debt and struggling to sell stock in the corporation. Then, on the 8th of January, 1863, a crowd gathered beside the Sacramento River.
Well, Mark, Too bad we had to have such a miserable day for the ceremony.
Yes, it is too bad, Huntington. But it could be worse.
Yes, and if Governor Sanford doesn't get here soon, we'll all get a thorough drenching.
Well, it isn't every day we start a railroad.
No, I'm happy to say. One in a lifetime is enough for any man. Oh, here comes the governor now.
How are you, Huntington?
You, Mark. Glad to see you.
Well, we better hurry along with the ceremony.
Yeah, better get started.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my extreme pleasure to present His Excellency, Governor Sanford.
Thank you, Mark.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to the extreme weather, I shall dispense with many words. We are all tremendously aware of the reason for our being here today. We should be happy in the enjoyment of so great a privilege. I feel honored that the ground for the Central Pacific Railroad is first broken by my hand. May we have God's blessing upon this undertaking.
The governor of the state of California will now shovel the first earth for the Central Pacific Railroad.
Ribbon of steel slides out over the rock-ribbed, snow-covered heights of the Sierra Nevada mountains and across the arid wastes of the great American desert. The rattle of hammers, the hoarse cries of sweating men, and 10 years later, the Union Pacific, reaching westward through the Rockies, joins the Central Pacific, and the East and the West become one united empire. The successful completion of the gigantic task was due in no small measure to the efforts of Mark Hopkins. He was appointed treasurer of the road and remained such until his death in 1878, when his fortune was estimated at $20 million. Mark Hopkins, Captain of Industry.